So we're in 1 John chapter 5, verse 5. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the word of the Lord. When I mention stereograms, I bet you haven't got the slightest clue what I'm talking about. Or more precisely, autostereograms. But if I was to tell you what they do, you might recall them straight away. Do you remember when these pictures, computer-generated pictures that came out a while ago and to the untrained eye just looked like a bunch of random, colourful dots arranged in no particular order? They were initially not a big hit when they came out until people noticed and realized what these pictures would actually do. You see, inside them, they had a hidden picture within a totally random picture on the outside. And this means that there was a picture inside the exterior picture itself. But that wasn't all. It would transform a two-dimensional picture into a third-dimensional picture. But like I said, to the trained eye. You see, these pictures came with a set of instructions on how to look at them. And unless you read them, followed them, and also believed what they could do, you would not be able to see them at all. If you believed in what these pictures could do, however, by following the instructions, then and only then could you finally see what had been there all along. And what it would do is open you up to another dimension that you initially thought never existed. And when you finally saw the picture for the first time, it's as if it jumped out at you and came alive. And when that happened, you never look back at them the same way again. You actually can't help yourself looking for more of these pictures, wanting to see the extra dimension every single time, because you have been transformed to ignore the exterior and live to faithfully see the real image that was there all along. And so, you had become an overseer of the exterior picture, which made no sense at all, to live for the real image that was revealed and came alive. Your faith to see what others could not see, the hidden image, made it impossible to look back, even to the point that none of these unbelievers could convince you that the extra dimension or the image did not exist at all. And this is what we see in our text this morning. John is referring to the ones who have been transformed from this current world. The ones who are no longer swayed by the enticing devices that the world is enslaved to. By first believing in the source, the object, the image that was hidden long ago, Jesus Christ. That Jesus is the Son of God, the one in whom has opened our eyes to see both those who are bound in this current world and everyone else who have been freed to finally see the real image, the main object that has been there all along. An unwavering faith that no longer looks back, but instead trusts in the source, Jesus Christ, the object of our new life, in whom we have been made alive, being affected permanently in the pursuit to be loving, obedient children of God by placing our Lord above anything else in this known world. But before I carry on, let me pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would direct this mouth of mine to speak of your oracles so that your people may hear your word and hear it more clearly, and that it would resound with their lives to know who they are and to know who they are in Christ Jesus, so that they may live, that they may live for you, my Lord Jesus, and be exposed to the knowledge of your great love that was there before beginning of time, that we come to know you, and so that we would walk as your children, not being overcome by the things of this world, but when we love you first and love each one another. Father, that already is the commandment that you have given us. So help us to see this. Help us to live with the faith you've given us, so that our lives may be conformed to the image of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, what we are challenged with this morning, beloved, straight off the bat, is a question. In fact, our whole verse is a question in itself. John sums up the first four verses by giving us a self-examination in our current verse to challenge ourselves to the who he is referring to. And so we begin in verse 5. Who is it that overcomes the world? Here is the who. Who is it that overcomes the world? The who in question are everyone in the previous verse. So verse 4, 1 John 5 verse 4. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. That means everyone. Everyone who has been, past tense, born again by the regenerating power of God, who are citizens which belong to God, through the redemptive plan of his Son, Jesus Christ, are the who overcome the world. Our examination of the who are the children of God, also leads us to the what. What is it to be overcome? If we are citizens of God, then we are no longer citizens of this current world, a position in which we are no longer spiritually tied to the vices that had us bound in the first place. But does this mean that those who are not of the world no longer exist in it? On the contrary, the ones who have overcome the world still exist in it, but have now become the exception to everyone else who still rely on the world rather than God. And so those who overcome the world find their place in God first, before anything else that exists and has its being from the God of salvation. And as we have discovered, the who are born again children of God, and the what has been overcome, which is the spiritual bondage of the current world, we soon discover that John is formulating two positions. As we have learnt from our previous sermons in John's epistle so far, he helps us again by only leaving us with two possible outcomes. And those outcomes are determined by the spiritual forces at play here. So the two are the world who says, seeing is believing, and those who believe and then see through another means, a lens of regeneration that takes place at salvation. And so those who are in this world are consumers of this world, the main element which puts them on a quest for their own pleasure, their own profit, and a secure place that sees themselves in a good position in this world. It is a pursuit of what they believe can satisfy their needs now, and keeps them from ever discovering the truth of what they cannot see altogether. That this pursuit will never fill the void and never satisfy their desire that is in this world by becoming a part of it. Though they don't believe in the unseen forces in the world, the extra dimension in our illustration, they are actually affected by it, whether they wish to believe it or not. And so they are effectively trapped, unable to escape the spiritual power that has bound them completely because of their sin that blinds them. And here is the evidence. So 1 John 5, verse 19. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And so, the world that is blindly bound, in whom John is referring to, are those who are affected by the power of the evil one, which is the sin and ultimate certainty of death that awaits them all. Born into the world as sinners, they are spiritually dead and unable to see their fate because they do not believe in what they cannot see. The image in the picture, the autostereogram that we spoke about earlier, they are unable to see it. But knowing the outcome of those in the world, then it is safe to say that the who overcome the world, who are born again, are the exception to the world's standards by the means of God's standards, which are those who believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. So if we go back to our verse 5, who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So to be an overcomer of this world is by the means of the exception of the one who believes, not in the things of this world, but in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the only means by which it is possible. That those who truly believe in the work of God through the Son are those who have been affected by Jesus himself, who are born again, born of a living and imperishable God who has changed everyone, including you and me, from the old to our newly transformed lives. So if we are overcomers who believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then we are to follow John's thread through verses 1 to 3 to see what else we must qualify to be born again children of God. And so verse 1, 1 John 5, verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. So that means everyone who believes, then John proceeds to follow up with, everyone must come through the same process who believe and are affected by Jesus himself to now also love the Father and everyone who loves the Father as well. And as we begin to process this, we also arrive at the first of three points. So point number one, Jesus gives new sight to all believers. Jesus gives us a new life, a newly transformed life, born of God to see through a new lens that never looks back or the same way ever again. To see both the futility of this world and to see the beauty of God's perfect love demonstrated through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has rescued us from our bondage that overcame the world, that we both love the Father and everyone who also loves the Father in return. And when we do this, beloved, we know that we are children of God, born of God to love, unlike the world does, by his love, in which we demonstrate to one another. And if we know that we love one another, John goes on in verse 2. So verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. When we demonstrate God's love to one another, we effectively love God by the obedient command to love. That's why he says, when we love God, when we love God, we are loving him through his commandment to love, which is inclusive of all his children. And so naturally speaking, John makes the connection for us that God is the one we love first, in which when we are affected by his love, is now automatically transferred to all in whom are loved by God. And what we see right here is obedient love. To see God's love is to be affected by God's love. And to be affected by God's love is to act out his love as a demonstration of himself to all those who are loved by him as his beloved children. It is a reciprocating effect that happens even though it is a commandment from God, which is something that happens when we are exposed to the love of God through the demonstration of his Son on a cross. And it is in this demonstration that changes us and affects us in a way that the commandment to obediently love one another is actually not burdensome at all. That's why John is writing the way he does. His logical conclusions are exhorting us to know that God's commandments are not exhaustive at all and do not require an excessive amount to maintain the love that is required, as he says in verse 3. For this is the love of God. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. You see why his commandments are not burdensome? Keeping his commandments is his love from himself delivered to us. That's why it says, this is the love of God. This means that God's commandments are for our good. It's for our benefit, beloved. His love to love is to be participants of what could never be burdensome at all. And yes, it is completely countercultural of the world. And that is the point. We could never love like this if we were to love anything else before God. But his commandment to love is rather an unconditional and automatic response to the Father's love. And you know why? Because Jesus kept God's commandments perfectly on our behalf, in which we could never do. An impossible task carried out in obedience by the love of God. To free us from this bondage of sin and death by fulfilling the law and cancelling our record of debt which stood against us. God's love for us through his Son made it possible for us to keep his commandments, which is to love in return. For which among you would not prefer to be loved by God through his children in this way? And so, we are all living members of God's love. And as living members of God's love, we are born again, children of God. And if we are children of God, we not only see the separation of the old life with a new lens, but we have also been transformed by our faith in Jesus Christ, whom has overcome the world and has transferred this victory to all who trust in him, the substance, Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what it says in verse 4. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And so, everyone who faithfully believes in Jesus Christ believes as children of God and whom love him and loves everyone who loves him also, trusts in God by obediently keeping his commandments more than the objects of the world around us. And this leads us to our second point. So point number 2. Jesus gives us unwavering faith to believe that he has overcome the world for us. Did you notice the word overcomes? It is not the past tense here. It does not say overcame, but it says overcomes, a word which means to be continually doing. So how do we continually overcome the world? Our faith as a believer is in God and in the saving work of His Son, Jesus Christ. We no longer solely rely on the world, but our faith in what Christ has done is what separates from this world. When our hope is in the substance of everything that has already conquered and trusts that Jesus has transferred us from death to life, then we have officially won the victory over everything that lies under the power of the evil one. Therefore, we are not to withdraw from the world as if it does not exist. But we are called to fight in this world, even though we are no longer associated with it. We are to live in the world and yet not let the world live in us. To rise above the world's thinking and habits, to separate ourselves from the world's enslavement of sin and be content in our possessions by not allowing them to rule over us. This is how we continually overcome the world. And not only do we overcome the world by the saving work of Jesus Christ, but we have been granted eternal life. As we read on, it only gets better. So verse 11, 1 John 5:11. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So we live a new life. An eternal life that looks into the larger scope of things that belong outside of this current world. And this new eternal life is in His Son, which brings us to our third and final point. So point three, Jesus not only gives us new life, but eternal life that we live for Christ right now. So Jesus is the Savior of our lives now. He is not our Savior when we feel up to it. Rather, Jesus is the Son of the living and almighty God, the ruler over sin and death, in whom grants all authority to not only overcome the current world, but has granted us eternal life. And this life is in the Son, in whom our finite expiration date has been extended forever, eternally. And upon the realization of our extended life expectancy, we live not for the world which is perishing, but we live for the one who has given us the inherited gift of life, Jesus Christ, so that we remain in Him, who is the reason we get out of bed every morning. And I hope that's what you believe too. We don't just inherit this new life as a means to our end, but we also inherit the giver of life Himself, Jesus Christ. Did you get that? So in verse 12, whoever has the Son has life. And if we inherit the Son of God, then what else is there in the world that we would want? When we inherit eternal life and the Son, we also inherit an understanding that He gives us to know Him and remain in Him, in whom keeps us from veering away from the truth. It's an understanding to discern between the world and its desires and the truth that is in the Son, Jesus Christ. And as we see in our last two verses, our closing verses of this chapter, so verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. So, our whole newly acquired eternal existence in this current world for now is to remain in Him. And to remain in Him, we must know Him who is the true God. And so the reason why we remain in Him, in Jesus Christ, is the imperative John has reserved for us until the very end of this chapter. And this imperative keeps us from falling back into the world. So 1 John 5:21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. As we examine ourselves, we discover how much we were affected by the sinful pollution of the world's nature that shaped our lives. This has now brought to light the need of Christ in our lives. It is His perfect obedience that restrains sin's corruption in our lives by forming a growing hatred against sin itself. Our life in Jesus means we are not deterred by the world and their idols, but are encouraged to love God and His children more than any other object of this world. This love of God is shown in the love of His church, in which He gave up His Son for us, knowing that we were and are worth saving in His sight. There is no greater evidence of love than this love of God in Jesus Christ. And this love gives us a hope in Him, the Saviour, the substance where our faith resides. And as faithful, born-again, regenerated believers, we see Jesus through His life, through His death, through His resurrection, His ascension, His session, as the one who overcame the world and its enticing possessions, so that we may live for Him daily. And if we live for Christ, then the resulting outcome can only be overcoming the world and its vices. And so, beloved, we have become an overcomer of the exterior picture that made no sense at all, to live for the real image that was revealed and came alive. Your faith to see what others could not see, the hidden image, made it impossible to look back, even to the point that none of these unbelievers could convince you that the extra dimension or the image did not exist at all. We are therefore children of God, born-again believers who are anti-worldly, if there's such a word, that when we love God and love one another, we effectively keep His commandments by being obedient in His love to love. And when we love God more than our possessions, we also love our fellow members, that's you, beloved, more than them also. So when we have in our possession what those of us in need require, we give out of our love for God. This is countercultural to the entire world. that by believing in the Son, Jesus Christ, has indeed won the victory for our newly transformed lives. Let me pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your word. The Father, you open us an avenue to be more conformed to the image of Christ. So, Father, no matter what the world has and tries to entice us, oh Lord, let us daily constrain ourselves to focus on our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, that we have been given new eyes to see, that our faith trusts in you completely alone, and that we live for you, Lord Jesus, so that this love you gave to us is amidst us, your people, your church, on a constant basis. In your wonderful name, Christ Jesus, do we pray. Amen.